If I only had one song that I could sing you, or a story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one message I could bring you, there's no question it would be about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. I could sing about the state of grace I live in, or the peace and joy I have when times are tough. I could talk of all the blessings I've been given, but in the end, my life is just about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. 2,000 years ago, if I had watched him die, I think I would have lost all hope, demanded to know why. But now I know the cross means everything, and it's the greatest honor to sing about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross, about the cross.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Shaddix. And there is something beautiful about the cross. Open your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Out of love and respect for the Word of God, I want us to stand as we begin to read in verse number 20. And we'll read through verse number 30. The Bible says, "And when he, Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The day will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now I want you to notice three verses for our text this morning. First of all, verse number 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. And then also, verse number 28. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. And then verse number 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I want to speak to you tonight, or today, on this subject, some simple lessons concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now listen, folks, I have nothing new to tell you on the second coming of Jesus Christ. That doctrine is settled in the Scripture. I don't know the day or the hour. I know it's near because I can see the signs, the clouds that are gathering. I believe Bible prophecy. And I'm not here to try to paint a different picture of it or to paint it a different color or to show you something new. I'm here today to try to remind you of the plain Bible facts concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. I want you to be ready when that day comes. But like the Pharisees were here, were in their terminology and understanding, so are many today in our churches ignorant of the truth concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. I want to be a help today. I'm not going to try to be dynamic, but just simple and plain to help you understand some simple facts about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's called the blessed hope in the Scripture. Now that word hope used in the Scripture is different than the way we use the word hope today in secular society. When we talk about, I'm hoping for this, I'm hoping for that, that hope has a lot of wishing in it. It may or may not occur. But the hope, the blessed hope that's stated in the Scripture is ours on the basis of God's promise. And it is ours with certainty attached to it. No wish, no uncertainty. It is a hope that is as certain and more certain than the sunrise tomorrow. Jesus may come today. There's coming a day when the sun will not rise again. But let me tell you, the certainty of His coming is a fact and unalterable by unbelievers, or heretics, or atheists, or Muslims. Jesus is coming again. By the way, I read an article this week in a paper that came across my desk about two Bible-believing independent Baptists that went out soul-winning in Fairfax, Virginia. And they knocked on the door of a Muslim. And they began to try to witness to him, and they asked him, they said to him, have you ever read the Bible? And he said, yes, but there's so much uncertainty there. And they asked what he meant. He said, well, when you read the Quran, there's just one Quran. But there's many different Bibles around today. Which one is true? May I say to you, with all the new versions and perversions going on in the name of the Word of God, they're not helping us to understand. It's strictly causing confusion and question marks. I thank God that I have in my hand, in a King James Bible, the very Word of God, verbally inspired and preserved for us, that when I read it today, I have the certainty that this is God's truth and God's Word. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message to be a blessing to our people. To some, I pray the message might be enlightening because it's new to them. It's new truth to them. They're new children of God. They're new Christians. They've not been in a place where the Bible's been taught or preached. And the message of the second coming is something that they have heard of in a very slight way, but they know little about it. And then there's many of us here that have held on to this wonderful truth down through the years. And it grows sweeter and more precious day by day. And I thank you for the unchanging Word of God that makes it possible to know that our Savior is coming again for the saved. We have this blessed hope to look forward to. Now give me liberty and power to preach. And I'll thank you for what you shall do in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I noticed as I began reading the scripture this morning in verse number 20, the Pharisees demanded of Jesus to know when the kingdom of God was coming. And like many today, they were confused about their terminology. They meant, when are you coming to set up your kingdom? But the kingdom of God is referring to a spiritual kingdom that we enter into by the new birth. And Jesus was quick to remind them that the kingdom of God does not come with outward show. It's an inward work that God does in us when we, by faith, accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then Jesus refers to three different subjects here that I will mention by way of introduction. He refers to the kingdom of God, which is our salvation. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we enter into the kingdom of God, a family of the newborn, the blood-bought, the saved. Every person in the kingdom of God has been born again. They're a child of God. You enter into it by the new birth. And then in verse number 25, Jesus said, talking in reference to the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, that day is not going to come until he suffers first. He's got to die. And he's talking about Calvary and the suffering of the cross. And then in the remainder of it, he talks about the coming of the Lord, the end time events, those events that will take place at the rapture and thereafter when Jesus comes back again. Now there's plenty of religious dogma and belief going on in the world today and in America. But there's a great ignorance in our land when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to doctrine. There's great ignorance in our land when it comes to the simple truth of salvation. There's great ignorance concerning the New Testament church, and just as much ignorance about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I want to emphasize my message this morning, lessons concerning the second coming of Christ. Now let me give you a simple outline of events as they'll happen at the end of the church age. The same truth that we've taught all these years. Nothing new. But I want you to hear it again. And hear it again. And hear it again. I never grow tired of my wife telling me she loves me. I never grow tired of hearing John 3:16. And I never grow tired hearing the fact that Jesus is coming back again one day soon. And He's going to rapture the saved out of this old world. And I'm grateful to tell you, I'm one of them. I was thinking on the way to church this morning that when I got saved 55 years ago, I did not know as much as I know now. But my knowledge did not determine how much salvation I got. I had enough understanding to know I was a sinner and Jesus died for my sins. I didn't know beyond that hardly anything, but I took what faith I had and the best I knew how, I put my trust in Jesus Christ. And you know what He did? He saved me. Now, I don't have more salvation than I had back then when I got saved. Because when He saved me, He gave me complete salvation, full salvation. I understand more about it today than I did then, and I enjoy it more than I did then because I know more about it and know more about the grace of God and the goodness of God and mercy and salvation and things that's going to happen in the days to come. But I didn't get more salvation then than I have, or less salvation then than I have now. I got complete, full salvation. And you know the reason I did that is because salvation is not something I got for myself. Salvation is something Jesus gave me when I believed upon Him. And He gave me all of it. If it had been something I'd gotten for myself, I might have just got a part of it. But you don't get salvation for yourself, you accept it. God gives it. And He gives a complete dose of it. All you'll ever need for the rest of your life in eternity. And as you get older and grow older in Jesus, you get to know more about it and you get to enjoy it more and rejoice about it more. But it's the same salvation, unending, complete, forever in Christ Jesus. Now just a simple outline of events that are following. The Bible tells us that heresy and ignorance of biblical truth will be prevalent in churches and among individuals as we near the end of the church age. And that there will come a great falling away from Christ and church and true Christianity before Jesus comes at the rapture. Then there'll come that time in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus will come. The rapture will take place. The word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible, but it means Christ will come to catch the saved out of this world and take us to be with Him for eternity. And at that time, we'll get a new body, a glorified body, like unto the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. Now, at the rapture, as when the rapture takes place and Christians are caught out, the rise to power of the Antichrist will take place. And he'll rule and present himself as Christ, as God. And he'll rule on this world, in this world, and from the throne, calling himself God. He'll rule first of all for 3 years and then on the throne of David for 3.5 more years. 7 years total, called the tribulation time. Now while that tribulation time is taking place on earth, in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ for the Christian is taking place, and the Christian is being rewarded for his stewardship here on earth. And stewardship just does not have to do with giving money. It has to do with your faithful service and obedience to the will of God and serving Him in His local church according to His will. Now, while the tribulation's taking place on earth, the judgment seat of Christ is taking place. Christians are being rewarded and we'll be casting our crowns at Jesus' feet. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place. And at the end of that 7-year period, Christ will return to the earth with His saints and Armageddon will take place. Armageddon is the time when Antichrist will and the false prophet will muster their armies against God's Christ. They'll meet in the valley of Megiddo. Christ will come on that white horse and we'll be with Him. And He'll be defeated. Satan will be defeated. Antichrist will be defeated. His armies will be defeated by the word of His mouth. And Antichrist and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. And at that time, Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And Christ will set up His kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years, and He'll rule and reign as Lord of lords and King of kings. And the saved that have been raptured out to be with Him, that's come back with Him, will rule and reign with Him. According, our position in that kingdom will be determined by our faithfulness or unfaithfulness here as Christians today. So, hey, the way you're serving God and the way you're living and the way you're practicing your Christianity is going to determine your position in that 1,000-year reign. After the 1,000-year reign takes place, Satan will be released from the bottomless pit for a short time. And he'll do what he's always been doing. He'll go out and deceive some people and gather some people in rebellion against God one last time, and God will rain fire and brimstone down on them. And Satan will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And eternity will begin, beginning with the great white throne judgment, when all the unsaved of all ages will be called out of their bodies out of the grave, their soul and spirit out of hell, and they'll stand before God and be judged out of the things written in the books. And then one by one, they'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And then eternity will begin, and we who are saved will forever be with the Lord. Now we're now living in the church age. We're living in a time where sinners can get saved, where lives can be transformed by simple faith in Jesus Christ. But may I say to you, according to the Word of God and all that's going on, that the Bible has predicted and prophesied of, I can tell you that we are nearing the end of the church age. We're nearing the time when Jesus will come back at the rapture. And that could take place at any moment. You may have to meet Jesus Christ just as you are right now. Before I finish this message, He could come back. One day He will come back. I don't know when. But the Bible tells us we're to be ready. We're to be ready. We're not to get ready at the last minute. We're to live ready and be ready and serve ready. Let me say to some of you that are always looking forward and waiting till a better ministry, better opportunity to serve, you may face God with the ministry you have right now. It may be all the ministry you ever have. Jesus could come back before Bible college students finish Bible college and start a ministry in a local church. You may have to face God as a Sunday school teacher or a bus captain, a bus worker, or whatever you're doing now. Be faithful and live ready, because Jesus is coming back again. Now let me get to my message. Notice, if you will, verse 26, 27, and 28. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the day of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. And by the way, the Bible's not against marrying and giving in marriage. I would to God that America would get back to it. We have more people living together, shacking up, than are marrying biblically and legally. And by the way, legal marriage is accepted by God as biblical marriage. Gotten so far away. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the day of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Here's what I want to point out from these three verses. Most of the people of the world, including Christians and church people today, will be completely indifferent to the Word of God and the will of God at His coming. There's no shortage of the number of people that claim to be Christians today. Churches have people on their church rolls. But I'm here to tell you, most people in churches and most people claiming to be Christians have no understanding of the Word of God or the will of God for their life. They're just going through life living. They've got saved and that's all they want. They forget that God has a purpose. They're indifferent to the Word of God and the will of God. You know, if every member of our church, and we pastor a great church, we have a great people, but if every member of this church would be concerned about the Word of God and the will of God for your life, we wouldn't be all constantly looking for new workers. We wouldn't have to be recruiting people and training people. The majority of the church members of this church, and it's a good church, have no ministry in their church. They couldn't tell you what the will of God is for their life. You may be living proof of God's prophecy of end time events. It may be speaking about you. As it was in the day of Noah, there is absolutely nothing wrong with eating the right things and drinking the right drinks or people wanting to get married or during the day. But during the day just before the Lord returns, this will be the main focus of people. Not God's will, what I want to do. I want to do this, so I'll skip church to do it. I want to do this, so I won't be a part of this. I want to do this so I won't teach a class. I want to take it easy so I won't work the bus ministry. What I want, not the will of God. That's the way it was in the days of Noah, and God said that's the way it'll be when I come back again. People just before our Lord's return will be focused on pleasure, profit, and self, with God having very little place, if any, in their life. The people of Noah's day ignored the warnings from God's word. They ignored God's preacher and continued on living their life as usual. They ignored the fact that there was coming a day of judgment. They acted as though they never would have to face God and answer Him. Now, I'm not talking about just unsaved people. I'm talking about saved people today. Some of you listening to my voice are living your life as though you'll never have to face God in judgment. You're living as though you'll never have to give an account of the things you're doing before a holy, holy, holy God who loved you and died for you on the old rugged cross. All Noah preached to these people for 120 years and warned them. And they just ignored his preaching. Some of you are so used to Bible preaching, you can sleep through it now. You can skip it and it not bother you. I mean, your idea of coming to church is coming to church when you don't have anything else to do. As it was in the days of Noah. As it was, so shall it be in the day of the coming of Christ. Compare Noah's day and Lot's day to the church age. Dear God, there's been more preaching of the Word of God and teaching of the Word of God in our generation. You've had opportunity like no other groups on the face of the earth have had. How much do you know about the Bible? How much time do you spend in the Bible? I'll tell you, if you don't spend much time in the church, you're not going to spend much time in the Bible either, on your own. People are willfully ignorant of God's Word. They ignore the preacher. And people today are as vile and wicked as they were in Noah's day and Lot's day. As it was, so shall it be. Then may I say, secondly, simple truth, nothing new. The rapture is going to take place suddenly. Look at verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day. It's talking about how quick it's going to be, how sudden it's going to be. As quickly as a bolt of lightning strikes from the sky. Now the clouds will tell us that a storm is near. However, there's no warning other than the clouds that a lightning strike could take place at any time. And we can see the clouds gathering, the clouds that say Jesus is coming, the clouds that say prophecy is fulfilled, the clouds that tell us as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the day of Lot, so is it today. We see those clouds. I don't know when that lightning's going to strike. It didn't say thunder. It said lightning. Lightning comes before the thunder. We see the lightning before we hear the thunder. And brother, we're going to see the coming of Christ before we hear the groanings of the tribulation. Quickly, suddenly He's coming. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I've never tried to measure the time described here as a twinkling of an eye. It happens so quickly, it occurs in hundredths of seconds. A second. Hundredths of a second. The Lord said, in a moment. He didn't say in a minute. He didn't even say in a second. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord's coming. I simply want to emphasize the fact that He's coming suddenly. Suddenly. And the third thing I want to emphasize in this lesson this morning is that we're promised by our Lord that the saved, not the religious, the saved will be delivered from tribulation just before God's wrath falls on the wicked. That's called the rapture. Verse 26 and 27 tells us that Noah and his family were shut up in the ark by God. And when the floods came, he was lifted above the judgment in the ark. Though the judgment came, he was safe in the ark. And by the way, the Bible tells us our ark is Jesus. Are you in Christ? Are you locked in by the hands of God? Are you secure in Jesus Christ today? God's judgment's going to come. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in when Jesus comes again. Verse 29 tells us that Lot was supernaturally delivered by angels from Sodom just before the fiery judgment fell from heaven on Sodom. They had to take them out of the city. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man, and in that day the saved will be supernaturally delivered at the rapture. Just before God's wrath falls upon the tribulation period. Thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. gentlemen and ladies, I believe God. I believe He's giving us His assurance that the saved will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air just before tribulation and the wrath of God falls here on the earth. And then fourthly, let me say quickly also, judgment came regardless of the unbelieving and mocking world. Judgment came regardless of the unbelieving and mocking world. I have people say, I don't believe that. Well, tutti frutti. It's not going to change it. It's going to happen whether you believe it or not. It's going to happen. God's Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They're going to mock. There's going to be unbelievers and mockers and scoffers. There were those who laughed and mocked at Noah's preaching about the judgment in the form of a universal flood. But that didn't prevent God from sending the flood right on schedule. Those who laughed and mocked today at Christianity and at our Bible truth that Jesus is coming again soon will not cause God to postpone His coming 1 second. He'll come in the rapture to rapture the saved right on time, right on schedule. He'll come to pour out His wrath on this unbelieving world after the rapture has taken place. We have His promise for it. Titus said, God who cannot lie. And in that same little old 3-chapter book of Titus, it talks about the blessed hope. The coming of Jesus Christ. Don't forget for a second. Let all men be liars. Let God be true. Our job is not to know the day or the hour. Our job is to be ready regardless when He comes. God's judgment came in Noah's day and in Lot's day exactly as predicted by God's Word. It came upon those who had rejected God's message. It came upon those that put off receiving God's message. It came while people were making future plans in their daily life. It came one day that was a very normal, usual day in their time. That's the way it's going to be with us. You're going to get up one morning thinking this is just an ordinary day. And it's going to be that last day. Jesus is going to come again. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Let me have one more point, though I'm a little bit over. I never preach on the second coming without including this last point in every second coming message I preach. There's some things we should consider and make sure of before Jesus comes back at the rapture. Number one, we'd better make sure we're saved. Well, when it comes to salvation and the second coming of Christ, I don't want to hope or think or maybe. I want to know that I know that I know that I know. And I know because of two things. Number one, I know because I was there when it happened, when I called upon Jesus Christ. I know because God promised in His book, these things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know you have eternal life. You'd better make sure you're saved and know it. Secondly, every Christian had better make sure he's a member of a local New Testament Baptist church before the rapture. You say, won't any church do? Well, I don't know, but I know a Bible-believing Baptist church will do. Because the doctrine we preach and teach and practice is the doctrine Jesus gave to the apostles and the apostles gave to the early church. I'm a Baptist by conviction. I believe Jesus taught Baptist doctrine and Baptist doctrine is Bible doctrine. I make no apologies for that. You say, people, preacher, do you believe people get saved in other churches? Yes. Some of them in spite of what they teach. I believe the New Testament Baptist Church is the bride of Christ. I believe the New Testament Church is the bride of Christ. Boy, I didn't get a lot of amens there. If it's not, who is? You get into the family of God by salvation. It takes more to become a part of a Bible-believing Baptist church according to the Bible. You get become a part of a Baptist church by being saved and scripturally baptized. And let me stop right there and say scriptural baptism is not flipping or squirting or pouring or sprinkling. Scriptural baptism is the immersion in water of a believer after they've been saved as a testimony of their faith in Christ, not as a part of getting saved. That means some of you listening to my voice that got baptized as a child and you didn't get saved until later, you don't have scriptural baptism. It means some of you listening to my voice that got sprinkled in a Reformation church, Protestant church, don't have scriptural baptism. Some of you that got baptized in order to get saved don't have scriptural baptism. When I face Jesus, I want to be right in the matter of salvation and I want to be right in the matter of baptism. I want to make sure that I've made Christ my first love and I'm doing my best for Him before He comes again. Is it your first love? What you're doing for Christ and what you're doing in your Christian life, can it be called your best for Him? Or just what's convenient. Or just enough to get by. I want to make sure that I've been faithful in my part of fulfilling the Great Commission before He comes again. The number one work, the priority work of every Christian and every church is the Great Commission. That means to be witnesses here at home and to send the gospel around the world. And we can only do that by being personal witnesses and involved in an old-fashioned mission program that supports and sends out missionaries around the world. I want to make sure that I'm not holding grudges against other Christians and that my life is being lived in the perfect will of God to the best of my ability, God-like, doing what God has called me to do, serving in the place where God has put me to serve, doing my service not according to my will, but His will and His word. Well, my time's up. Are you ready for the Lord's return? It's going to happen one day soon. It's going to happen one day in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Are you ready? I simply want to say right now before He comes, it's not ignoring time, it's getting ready time. Getting right time. Taking care of business time. So that when He comes, you'll be ready. Father, that's our message this morning. Speak to our hearts. God, there's some people here that need to get saved this morning. There's some people here that's been saved and have never been scripturally baptized after they got saved. They need to take care of that. There's some people here today that are members of a church, but not active, not faithful, not dependable, just when it's convenient. They need to get that right. There's people here today that's holding on to grudges, not forgiving people as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And You tell us if we won't forgive others, You won't forgive us. People here today that's looking for Christian service and church membership on the basis of convenience and not the perfect will of God. God, help us to examine all those things and do what we need to do to get ready. For one day soon, Jesus will come again. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. I wonder how many of you can say this morning, "Preacher, I'm saved."